So everybody's heard of the legend of Bigfoot. The search has gained popularity throughout the years, and now there's even a cable TV show dedicated to finding Bigfoot. But it's not just out west. Nope, here in Ohio, Ashley Berry explains some people believe that he is right in our own backyard.
A big deal for believers of Bigfoot. Take a look at this. A footprint 7 inches wide from toe to toe, discovered and documented in Ashtabula County, Ohio. It's a small town about 60 miles northeast.
Sasquatch is a podcast about Bigfoot. It's recorded for the skeptics, the believers, the so-called knowers, and those who just have a casual interest in the subject. Information, visit sasquatch.com. Hi, I'm Seth Breedlove.
I'm Mark Matsky.
And this is Sasquatch, a podcast about Bigfoot. We're continuing our conversation about the Ohio Bigfoot sightings. And last week, or whenever the last episode that pertained to this topic ran, last time we talked about geographic sightings and the strange creatures from the state. This week we're going to talk a little bit about sightings and historical encounters with Bigfoot. So, Mark, we've talked a little bit through email and stuff about different sightings from around the state. Do you have a favorite, like, Ohio Bigfoot sighting?
Well, I think I would have to mention the Minerva Monster in with that, because of the heightened weirdness of part of that whole experience. Mm-hmm. And specifically, I'm talking about the part of the story where there's a sighting of first what is allegedly seen in the distance are the eye shine of two creatures, and they've been described as panthers by some, and others have speculated that perhaps it was juvenile Bigfoot. But whatever those the creatures were that were causing the eye shine, then you have a Bigfoot creature that walks up and stands between those creatures and those having the sighting, and the vibe that they got was that he was, or she, was doing that in sort of a protective manner. Now that, and this was within the continuum of an entire range of sightings by the same family and other people, but that one just stands out to me, that that just that action is, you know, that it, there's a, I don't know, a human quality to that perhaps that just sparks your imagination. Yeah, at least you, it does for me.
You opened a whole door now, because now I got to go into this, because the Minerva Monster is my favorite Bigfoot sighting, period, of all Bigfoot sightings. I find the entire story, as a storyteller, I find the entire story awesome, everything about it. And so this wasn't, there's a few things, this, the unfortunate thing about the Minerva Monster is it's being lost to time, because the family is dying off, the Caton family. This was during the 70s, and at the time, they were already getting old. So, unfortunately, a lot of the original sighting people, the people that took place in the sighting, the sighting witnesses, boy, I cannot talk today. So the story goes that this ran for about 2 years that they had these encounters, but the sightings started way before then, and they continued to today, and I found that out through people at the Historical Society who told me about that. I've spent of time in Minerva. Yeah, I've spent a lot of time in Minerva researching this and trying to track down members of the family and talking to some friends of theirs. So the sightings ran specifically, I think it was 78, summer of 78.
Yes, that's right.
What it is,
especially
is,
in August, yes, it seems like. August
78. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I've got to speak to the lady who wrote the articles and investigated it for the Akron Beacon Journal. In fact, I have an interview I did with her on an audio interview I actually did with her, which I might, maybe we'll do a Minerva Monster episode someday. But just a real quick thumbnail of what the encounter entailed was, they lived in a house on the edge of a pretty dense forest. There was a huge hill behind their house, and for weeks they were getting rocks thrown on the roof of their house. And they wanted to know what that was, and over time they started to see this creature in the woods up behind the house, and then eventually the creature got so curious that it came down to the house. And when they started reporting it to the police, it became a pretty big deal. The Akron Beacon Journal sent out a reporter, and she did stories on the sightings that ran for multiple stories. It wasn't just like a one-and-done cover story. She actually did follow-ups. She stayed at their house with the sheriff, hoping that this thing would come back. And they did all these stories on this creature sighting. And eventually the family became kind of ridiculed by the town itself because they had, you know, been open and upfront about the fact that they had seen this thing. They had, the local Pizza Hut put on their sign, it said Bigfoot eats here. When they showed up for a football game, I guess crowd started chanting Bigfoot at them.
Really?
Yeah, they were pretty ridiculed by the town of Minerva. But I'll tell you this, I talked to a guy who went to school with the youngest son, and he told me that is not a family that would make it up. He said he went to school with them. He doesn't necessarily believe they saw a Bigfoot, because this guy is a farmer there. He's hunted the woods, and he said he's never seen anything back in there. So he doesn't necessarily believe that they saw a Bigfoot. He thinks it might have been a case of misidentification. And in favor of the misidentification thing, I will say, I talked to Ron Schaffner, who investigated this thing for the BFRO at the time. Well, I don't think he was in the BFRO at the time. But he investigated it, and you can find his reports on the BFRO database. Hmm. He told me something that they didn't know at the time that came out later was there were a mother bear and two cubs seen not 5 miles from the sighting location. So when you're talking a giant creature standing in between two creatures on all fours, that very well could have been a black bear. And I hate to try to shoot that down because this is one of my favorite Bigfoot stories, but it very well could have been a black bear.
Right.
It's just whether or not these people did not, they adamantly said that this was not a black bear.
Yes.
They saw it close enough. In fact, they saw it right out their kitchen window looking in their kitchen.
Yeah, that was an element that I wanted to mention, is mm-hmm. that they did seem to have a variety of experiences and close up, like you said, looking through the window. There was the stereotypical, almost strong stench mm-hmm. that stayed in the area, even when policemen came to investigate.
Do you know about the jawbone?
I do not know about the jawbone.
Okay, so
break it down for me.
Let me break it down for you. So I feel bad because I cannot, for some reason, I can't remember the name of the reporter who I've spent multiple emails talking to about this subject. The crickets just stopped. But
the sun's coming out.
I can't remember her name right now, unfortunately, but she told me they found her and the sheriff went back in the woods behind the strip mine and were kind of, you know, trying to find something. She told me she found a laurel thicket, and it looked like something had kind of created a little cave in this laurel thicket and had been sleeping in there.
Ooh.
And she found bones, and she found an unidentifiable, this is what she called it, an unidentifiable jawbone. It was not from a deer. It wasn't from, you know, some known animal. They couldn't figure out what it was. Apparently, it was pretty big. They sent it off to Malone College to have it, I don't know, I guess some run through a DNA sequencing. I don't know what they were doing. And Malone College lost it.
Oh,
so I don't know, for you conspiracy buffs out there, buffs out there, you can say that it was taken by the government or whatever.
Yes,
but
the Men in Black showed up. The
Men in Black
lab.
Showed up and took it. Yep.
Wow.
So that is a very interesting aspect to the story. There's a lot of different little rabbit trails you can go off in the story. There was a boy that lived on the other side of the Caton's house. I've driven to the Caton's house, and it's a little run down now, but the woods behind their house, which is up, when I say it, there's a hill behind their house, I mean there is like a steep cliff that goes up into the woods, and on the other side of that wood somewhere is a
a farm, a gravel apparently. Pit or something.
Yeah,
too?
But on the other side of that gravel pit, there is a farm and three trailers back in the woods. And apparently, this boy—you can read all this on the BFRO. There's a there was a boy that said that this creature was coming to his window. He said he saw it two or three times. So that kind of corroborated their story. And then there were people that lived at the mobile home park, which is maybe a few hundred yards from the old Caton house. And there were people that lived in there that said they saw it. And then apparently this guy at the Historical Society, according to him, there are unreported sightings that go back to the early 1900s and continue to this day in the same area.
Wow. Wow. So if this creature is real, I mean, he's fairly curious. Because the number of reports that it will go right up to somebody's window and look in.
Well,
I mean,
if you're talking the difference between North America, or not North America, but the Eastern Bigfoot and the kind of that Pacific Northwest Bigfoot, it seems like the Eastern Bigfoot is more curious, more willing to be seen. I mean, because think about the most popular or the most famous Bigfoot sightings in Ohio. The one that always springs to mind is that lady in Sharon who had her kids and they were at the playground.
Right.
And they saw the female Bigfoot watching them from the woods with a smile on her face.
Yeah.
Which is a weird story. But
it is. I would like to go to that site, by the way, sometime just to be there and get a sense of, is that a place that seems like a reasonable location for that to take, you know, for that to happen.
We need to do a Ohio Bigfoot tour, I think, you and I.
But, no doubt.
So there was the Sharon sighting, and then there's the Minerva sighting, and then there's the sighting that happened to the man and woman down at Salt Fork when they said they saw the Bigfoot kind of watching them. They were having the fire. It was, I want to say it was like wintertime, like January. It might not have been Salt Fork, but that area, that general area, they had a sighting.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think it was Salt Fork. And I actually met those people at a Finding Bigfoot taping, and they were more than happy to talk about their story. I think that they claim more than one sighting.
I'm suspicious of people that claim more than one sighting. But
yeah. But it does seem like... Right, right. Now they even had they lost a dog, didn't they?
They lost a dog, and they might have lost more than one dog. But one of the interesting things about that story is whatever was coming through there had terrified the dog so bad that it had. And the lady that wrote the stories for the paper, told me this herself. The dog had dug what almost amounted to like a cave under its doghouse to hide from this thing. I mean, it was like 6 feet deep and big enough for the dog to crawl down inside and lay and hide from these things. So whatever had been coming through there had scared that dog bad enough that it did that. So there are more, but I always think that it seems like the Eastern Bigfoot is this more curious creature.
Yeah.
I don't know. That might just be my perception of it, but
well, I mean, there's another one. I'll really quick mention it from Union County. It was a legal secretary who was driving. It was literally a dark and stormy night. She's driving along, and this is the one where she sees something lying in the road, almost like in a fetal position. Then it stands up with its back to the car, turns around in the view of the headlights, with its arms extended, palms up, you know, almost in a, not a submissive position, but a welcoming, if you can imagine that gesture, what that would look like, some huge creature almost reaching out with palms up. And she didn't claim to see any facial features because she was too busy driving away as fast as possible. But
she
was too busy
peeing herself, urinating on the car, and screaming in terror.
Yeah. But even that, I mean, it's such a curious sort of move to make.
That reminds me of the Kentucky Bigfoot sighting that Charlie Raymond talked about at the conference. Do you remember that?
I do.
The Bigfoot laying in the road in that kind of ball.
Right.
And then it stood up in one motion.
Right. And they hypothesized that it was because of the warmth of the road, mm-hmm. maybe, that yeah. it, during the day, and I don't know. But that one, too, was really just bizarre. We have some bizarre big feet
yeah.
here in this region.
It is interesting. If you have thoughts on Ohio Bigfoot, why don't you send them to me, SethBreedlove@yahoo.com. We'll get some sort of email address set up for the show itself here in the near future. You can find me on Twitter @SethBreedsLove, and you can find me on Facebook, too, if you want to look me up on there. Mark is on Twitter.
It's Reverend Matzke, MATZKE.
And we will be back for more episodes soon. We'll probably do some more Ohio Bigfoot and then maybe start branching out and talking about other aspects to the subject. So, Mark, thanks for coming on again.
You bet.